The reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 to 17. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria."
Thank you, Jenny. Do keep that passage open, and we'll pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that it is your inspired message to us. And so we pray now that the Holy Spirit will work amongst us, enabling us to understand it, to believe it, to take it to our hearts and be transformed by it more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder what you do when you're in trouble. When I'm in trouble, what I want is a solution. But it's got to be the right solution. Now, not many people enjoy going to the doctor. Sadly, no offence to the medics here. I think that's generally true. But in 1994, one London accountant took that to an extreme. The 63-year-old man worked out that he needed bladder surgery. But he could not overcome his fear of doctors, so he tried to perform the surgery on himself. Tragically, he got an infection and died. The coroner said, unfortunately, his drastic remedy went wrong. A simple operation would have solved his problem. When we're in trouble, we look for solutions. But it needs to be the right solution. The same was true of King Ahaz, here in Isaiah 7. He's in trouble, and he's looking for a solution. But he chooses the wrong solution. The problem is stated in verse 1. When Ahaz was king of Judah, that's the southern kingdom of Israel, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. There's the problem. Happily for Ahaz, kings Rezin and Pekah could not destroy Jerusalem. But nonetheless, it was a very sticky situation. The shock is that the northern kingdom of Israel, Ephraim, has allied itself with Aram, which is another name for Syria. So Judah is under attack from fellow Israelites. And verse 2, the hearts of Ahaz and the people were shaken, like trees blowing in the wind. And so, God gives Isaiah a message for King Ahaz. He's to say to him, verse 4, "Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid." This is an invitation for Ahaz to put his trust in God. Here's the right solution: faith in God. Aram and Israel are just smouldering stubs of firewood. They're just a couple of fag ends. They're nothing to worry about. And God is in control. They mean you harm, verse 5. They mean to destroy Judah and place another king on the throne in Ahaz's place, but Ahaz is not to worry because, verse 7, it will not take place, it will not happen. In fact, Ephraim, the northern kingdom, is going to be shattered. And here's the lesson, verse 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What are we meant to do when we're in trouble? Stand firm in faith. Because if we do not stand firm in faith, we will not stand at all. And I might ring my wife, might ring my parents, might ring my friend and say, "Help! I'm in trouble." But all of that is pointless if I don't stand in faith. If I don't say to myself, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do it. I can cope with this situation. I can glorify God in this situation." But if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, God speaks to Ahaz through Isaiah, verse 11. He's invited to ask God for a sign, which he doesn't want to do. He says he doesn't want to put God to the test. And frankly, God is not very impressed. When God invites you to ask for a sign, ask for a sign. Just do what God says. Verse 13, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also?" Just do what God says. He's told you to ask for a sign, so ask for a sign. There's a lesson here. Some of us won't do the basics of the Christian life. We won't trust God. We won't obey God. God has given instructions, but we prefer to think that we know better. We don't. And all the time, we're trying the patience of God. That's a very dangerous situation to be in. Because although God is very patient, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, although God is very patient, his patience is not inexhaustible. One day, if we do not accept Christ, if we will not repent of our sins, God's patience will come to an end. It's a dangerous thing to try the patience of God. Verse 14, "You won't ask for a sign, Ahaz, but God is going to give you a sign. And it's not the sign you're expecting. The sign Ahaz would like to see would be a vast army coming over the hill to rescue him from Israel and Syria. Instead, what's the sign going to be? The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you will know this is a prophecy of Jesus. It's a prophecy of the virgin birth. But the prophecy had a meaning for Ahaz too. There must have been another baby born. Born of a virgin, simply meaning born of a young woman. It's the same word in the Hebrew, virgin, maiden, young woman. There's not necessarily a supernatural birth in view here. Even though, of course, Jesus' birth was supernatural. Mary was a literal virgin. But back in the time of Ahaz, he's to expect the birth of a baby in the normal way, as a sign to him that he should have trusted in God. The baby's name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Maybe that's a word for someone here this morning. God is saying, I am with you. Trust me for your deliverance. However, I don't think the name Emmanuel had the same comforting connotations for Ahaz. Ahaz has now missed his opportunity to trust in God. He's chosen the wrong solution. God is going to be with him, Emmanuel, but God is going to be present to judge, not to bless. The sign of Emmanuel is a punishment on Ahaz. This baby will grow up to eat curds and honey. Sounds delicious. And verse 16, before he is old enough to be morally responsible, the lands of these two frightening kings will be laid waste. And that's exactly what happened when Assyria destroyed Israel and Syria. But Judah would also have to face the might of Assyria. Verse 17, the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. So Ahaz, don't put your faith in Assyria. But that is what he does. 1 Kings 16, verse 7. Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel, who are attacking me. And so the Assyrians defeated Ahaz's enemies. And Ahaz went to Damascus to meet the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser. And while he was there, he saw an altar. And he sent home to Jerusalem a detailed sketch of the Assyrian altar. And they made a replica of it in Jerusalem, in the temple. And when he got back to Jerusalem, Ahaz worshipped at the altar. And he mixed the worship of God with the worship of the Assyrians' gods. For example, he sacrificed his son. So Ahaz was a very bad king. He didn't put his trust in God. He didn't obey God. He put his trust in Assyria. And what happened? Assyria turned on Judah. Assyria would attack Judah. They will come like bees together with flies from Egypt. They'll be everywhere, verse 19. And then the metaphor changes. The king of Assyria will be like a razor. He will shave Judah's head and legs and beard. And no offense to anyone who shaves their legs, but in Bible times, to have your legs shaved was a picture of shame. In that day, verse 22, you'll be all right if you've got your own cow. But, verse 23, the vineyards will be transformed into thorn bushes. The same will be true of the agricultural land, verse 25. What was once cultivated will now be briars and thorns. Well, what an interesting story. What's that got to do with us? Two things. Trust and obey God. Number two, turn to the rescuer God has sent. Firstly, trust and obey God. This is what Ahaz failed to do. Judah was invaded by Syria, and Ephraim, because wisely Ahaz would not join their anti-Assyrian alliance. Judah suffered heavy casualties. Many were taken prisoner. Isaiah tries in vain to make Ahaz stand firm in his faith. But instead, Ahaz makes an alliance with Assyria. The price of this alliance was a heavy drain on the exchequer and a century of being ruled by Assyria. In 2 Chronicles 28, the Philistines and the Edomites take advantage of Judah's weakened position to attack Judah. Ahaz was a disaster for Judah. Spiritually, he was a disaster. He sacrificed his son through fire, a pagan practice. He encouraged Canaanite fertility cults, the worship at the high places. And as we've seen, he placed an Assyrian altar in the temple. He displaced the bronze altar installed by Solomon and even closed the temple sanctuary. Ahaz should have trusted and obeyed God. And he didn't. He trusted his own judgment and blatantly disobeyed God. And so he brought the judgment of God on Judah. The biblical model is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here's the right solution. Each of us faces a choice. Where will we put our trust? Where will we put our faith? Most people believe there is a God. In the last census, 72% called themselves Christian, which is astonishing when only 7% go to church. What that shows us, I think, is that people want God as an insurance policy. Many people want to have their children baptized. They want their loved ones buried by a proper vicar. They want God as a kind of insurance policy. But their faith is not really in God. Their faith is in themselves, in their money, in their talents, in their status, and so on. Even well-taught Christians can divide their trust. So we come to church on Sundays. Maybe we give our money to the church. Maybe we serve in some capacity in the church. But our faith is not wholly in God. How can you tell if your faith is wholly in God? Answer: if you obey him. And if you obey him, even when life is going to be difficult, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not dividing your heart. Not dividing your allegiance. Not trusting in two things at the same time. What God tends to do is he strips away from our lives things we might be tempted to trust in. Some of us have had our good health stripped away, and we've realized we can't put our trust there. We can only trust in God. Some of us have had our money stripped away, and we've realized we can't put our trust there. Others of us have experienced unemployment, and we've realized we can't put our faith in our career. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. recognize my native wit is not going to be enough to take me all the way through life and one day all the way through death. I can't lean on my own brain. I can't lean on my own intelligence, my own ingenuity. I must take God at his word and trust him. Believe what he says and obey him. Romans 15:13 puts the Christian experience well. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of hope. I don't know how you feel this morning. I'm sure some of us are natural optimists. Others of us would say we tried optimism, now we're more realistic. Where can we find hope in a world of difficulty? God is a God of hope. God gives us hope because he is in control of all things and he loves us. He is able to make us overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want fear and anxiety to be replaced by hope? Will put your trust in God, this God of hope, and allow him to fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. See, Ahaz did not find joy and peace when he put his trust in Assyria. He was offered the help of God, and he turned it down. So often we do the same thing. God is saying, "Here I am. The God of hope. Here is joy and peace if you will trust in me." And what we do is put our faith somewhere else. And we live on scraps spiritually instead of feasting on all that God has for us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We'll sing that golden oldie one of these Sundays. Secondly, turn to the rescuer God has sent. Ahaz is promised the sign of the birth of a baby. We know that this promise was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 is quoted in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the rescuer God has sent. His birth was supernatural because he is God come to rescue us. You know the story. Mary was clearly a virgin. She was pledged to be married to Joseph, but they were not married yet. Premarital sex was virtually unheard of in Mary's culture. And the text clearly says that before they came together, she was found to be with child. How? Through the Holy Spirit. So Mary is a virgin. She becomes pregnant supernaturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph clearly is not the father. In fact, he wants to divorce Mary quietly when he finds out she's pregnant. It's only when an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and explains to him that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit that Joseph is prepared to go through with the marriage. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin? Answer, because Jesus is fully God and fully human. Joseph was not his father. God is his father. Jesus means the God who saves. This is who Jesus is. He's the God who saves. And only God can save us from hell for heaven. Only God is perfect. Only God could die in our place and be the perfect sacrifice for sin for all time. Jesus is God. Therefore, he is born of a virgin, and God is his father. Mary, of course, is his mother. This is because, as well as being fully God, Jesus is fully human. Again, this is essential. He had to be God to be the perfect sacrifice for sin, but he had to be human to represent sinful humanity on the cross. I think I may have told you before about the time I helped organise the memorial service for Sir Humphrey Atkins, who was the Northern Ireland Secretary. And the whole major government came to the service, along with the Thatchers, Lord and Lady Whitelaw, Sir Edward Heath, and many more such people. And the Queen was invited to the service, but she couldn't come. And so she sent a representative. She sent Baroness Trumpington. And Baroness Trumpington arrived in the royal car bearing the royal standard. And when Baroness Trumpington entered the church, everyone stood up as if the Queen herself had just walked into the church. Because the Queen was represented by Baroness Trumpington, it was as if the Queen was present. And that's how it was on the cross. Because Jesus is fully human, he was able to represent you and me on the cross, so that when he hung there and died, it was as if you and I died there on the cross. Jesus is our representative, fully God and fully human. Therefore, born of a virgin. And what you and I have to do is trust in Jesus, in God's promised rescuer. So where are you this morning? Maybe, like Ahaz, you're in trouble. Certainly all of us face troubles. What are you going to do about your troubles? Are you going to look for a solution of your own? Or are you going to look for God's solution? Now, I'm not suggesting we should be impractical. If there are practical steps you can take to solve your problems, you should take them. If I'm unemployed, I should take practical steps to find a job. If I'm unwell, I should go to the doctor. If I'm lonely and depressed, maybe I should get out of the house and do something constructive. Possibly I should do something to help others. There's nothing wrong with being practical. It's sensible. But do not commit the sin of Ahaz. He's invited to put his trust in God, and what he does is he puts his trust in his own ingenuity, which leads him to put his trust in Assyria, and it's a disaster. God invites you to put your trust in him. Trust him for your employment. Trust him for your health. Trust him for your family. He won't take all your problems away, but he will give you the grace to stand up under your problems. He will give you the grace to flourish, to come through your problems, trusting him and being godly. That's really the great triumph of the spiritual Christian. To glorify God, whatever the circumstances. So trust Jesus. Trust that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with you, whatever you're going to face this week. That's a word for the Christian here this morning. Trust and obey God. But maybe you're not a Christian yet. You need to take something away from this sermon. You need to appreciate Jesus really was born of a virgin. He really is God's promised rescuer. This miracle really happened. God became a human being. He was born of a virgin. And he did this to be your savior, if you'll trust in him. Well, may each one of us make a response to God this morning based on faith. Amen.